So I have hundreds of messages on my computer I could pull up and so on. And I feel like the Lord wants me to go and come with a new message. So this one's pretty much hot off the press tonight. So that either means it'll be really long or really short, because I don't know how long. It won't be too long tonight, at least based on my track record. But I want to ask you a question tonight while you're turning to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, and see if I'm going to tuck in these cords here. Luke chapter 19. Simple little question tonight. How do you see people? And I've already lost this little fuzzy thing at the end of it. All right, it's going well so far tonight. How's your night going? All right, there we go. So the question for us tonight is, how do you see people? Do you see people as problems to avoid, or do you see them as potential and possibilities that God can work and God can transform? And that's what we want to talk about tonight. And Luke chapter 19, and we'll let you remain seated tonight. We are going to read these 10 verses here. The story of Zacchaeus. And whenever I see, I know this, you know, you get these annoying Sunday school songs stuck in my mind, but, you know, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. That's the only thing I think of, you know, I think of the life of Zacchaeus, you know. And I try not to think of these songs, but, you know, they come back into my mind, you know. But he was a small man, but he was short not only of stature, but he was short in holiness, he was short in business ethics, he was short in kindness. He was short of knowing God and probably a bunch of other things too, and having good relationships with people around him. But God met with him. Jesus stopped by that day and changed his life. And let's look at Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. And Jesus answered and entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. He made haste and came down and received him joyfully. When they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to see people, Lord Jesus, as you see them. Not just as troubles, not just as problems, not just as people to avoid, but to go out of our way, as you did, Lord, that day, and you saw that one, Lord, in kind of an awkward position there, up in the tree, and a very questionable job and line of work, and dubious business ethics, and all the complications, and you went out of your way to talk to him. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. Thank you, Lord, for reaching out to me when I was lost in sin, and so many other people around this room here tonight, Lord, that you are faithful to. Help us, Lord, to in likewise reach out to someone else. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the Bible tells us that Zacchaeus that day, he met Jesus. Jesus met him and his life was changed. He was a chief of the publicans. And he was a chief tax collector, which probably meant that he was in charge of a district with other tax collectors under him. And the region, as I understand, they tell us, was prosperous at the time. And so Zacchaeus was prosperous at the time. And Zacchaeus, as you know, we'll allude to this different times. Zacchaeus very likely did some, you know, rather nefarious dealings. And he probably cooked the books in his favor and all those things. But this story has been a classic illustration down through the years of how Jesus reached out to the unlikeliest of people, of possibilities, and real change comes to Zacchaeus that day. And again, I ask you the question, how do you see people? How do you see people around you? Whether it was Nicodemus by night, the Samaritan woman at the well, the ordinary fisherman, a leper, a blind man, or the woman with the issue of blood, Jesus saw people differently. differently than the crowds around him did. You know, there's a song, I don't know if you've ever sung it around here, the song says, "He saw not what I was, he saw what I could be." And now, in a sense, Jesus obviously does. He sees everything about us. So he does see what we were, and he does see what we are, but he does see what we can be and could be through the power of his grace. And so tonight I want to preach along another message along the theme of timeless truths. And I simply want to challenge you tonight to see people as Jesus sees them. Jesus saw people, as I said, not as problems to avoid, but as people to be saved and be transformed. And so the first point tonight is that people saw Zacchaeus. People saw Zacchaeus. How did they see Zacchaeus? Well, they saw him, no doubt, as a person to be avoided. We read there in Luke 19:7 that when they saw it, when they saw what Jesus was doing, reaching out to Zacchaeus, they all murmured, and they gossiped, and they said, he's gone to be a friend, a guest with a man that is a sinner. And no doubt people saw Zacchaeus, even today. Now there may be some, tax people here today, some, IRS agents today, but even today, we see the tax collector. That concept is not, real popular, right? And so on. And Zacchaeus, he was somebody to be avoided. Case closed. Mark him off. Avoid at all costs. And they tell us that Jericho is a major toll collection point for goods passing east and west. And as I noted earlier, he had tax collectors under him and so on. It's amazing sometimes how we see people and form opinions of them. Have you ever noticed that? If I would tell you tonight that, I'm Joel Beyer, the evangelist, I'm also a telemarketer, you would instantly form an opinion of me, right? And it would be positive, right? Not really. The crowd grows hostile. You know what I'm saying? By the very job description. Now, I'm not a telemarketer. I just thought I'd set your minds at ease about that tonight. But that very word creates instant reaction, doesn't it? When you think of it. And when Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and the Bible, as I said, the Bible doesn't explicitly state, but it's very likely, and so on, that Zacchaeus used his position to exploit, manipulate other people, and perhaps most importantly of all, what really got people upset was that he was allied with the Romans and doing their bidding. He was extremely unlikable and so on. And let's just get practical here tonight. And this is kind of a practical message. And that is this, that if you're going to be serious about serving God and loving other people, sooner or later, and probably sooner rather than later, God's going to bring some people into your life that are a little bit unlikely. They're a little bit not likable, and they're a little bit unlovely, and they're maybe not real. They'll just get on your nerves and so on. The people will not be your favorite personality. They may say things that be annoying. They have interests you don't care about at all. And they will try your patience, and Jesus is watching to see how you treat the least of these. One of the things that I've learned over the years, and I hope tonight I can be practical here tonight, is that Jesus sometimes allows people into my life as a test. How am I going to respond? How's my character? How's my action? At our church where I pastor, we have a Christian school, and every so often, and if my the principal there of the school, if he was here tonight, I could name some names that he would know what I'm talking about and so on. Every so often a child will come and they have some very annoying ways about them. Now, as you get to know some of their background, you'll know that maybe they have a very difficult home life, or there's some different challenges and so on. And there's been times where maybe that child will say or do something that sometimes use the word, I don't know if you should use the word or not, but triggered, it triggers a reaction, and so on. And right around that time, hear me out tonight, the Holy Spirit will more often than not speak to me and say, be careful. Be careful how you respond. Being a Christian means treating that child who just did something maybe super annoying, and I want to emphasize, this isn't just me looking on, this will be other people looking on also, instinctively recognizing it. It's not just one-on-one thing. right then and there, the Holy Spirit will talk to me about how I treat them, how I even talk about them, and so on. And Zacchaeus in our story tonight wasn't real popular for a reason. And when he says in verse 9, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by a false accusation, you know, I will restore him fourfold," he probably was having his conscience awakened right about then and realizing he had his stuff to make right. But Zacchaeus was a tax collector, but a tax collector who was hungry for Jesus, who wanted Jesus in his life. And I want to remind you tonight that sometimes we can group people into groups. And we can say, well, you know, they're just a bunch of tax collectors, right? There's a tax collector in that group who wants to find out about Jesus. Sometimes, hear me out tonight, there may be a family you might look and say, well, they're far from God. None of them are, you know, look at their attitudes and look how rebellious and wicked they all are. But I feel like the Lord has helped me sometimes realize that within that family, there may be that one. There may be that two that has a soft heart. God may be speaking. And just because they all share the same last name doesn't mean we just lump them all together and write them all off. Anybody who's seeking after God. And so Jesus doesn't just categorize all the tax collectors as unreachable. He sees a tax collector who wants Jesus, and Jesus reaches out to him. By the way, that's even true. By the way, Jesus even treated Pharisees like that. Did you know that? I think I talked a little bit about that to Pastor Japheth there the other day. But, you know, the Pharisees were rightfully noted as being legalistic. I mean, go read Matthew 23. Jesus pronounces the woe unto you scribes and Pharisees. You know, you travel far and wide and to make one of your followers, and then in so doing, you make them twofold a child of hell. You know, Jesus has some really strong words to say. But in the midst of the Pharisees, the Bible also says in John chapter 3, one of them was named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Do you follow what I'm saying? As you look at people around you, may you and may I help us to see people like Jesus sees them. Can you see that one in the crowd who might be soft-hearted, who might want to serve God? Maybe even they look hard-hearted on the outside, but God is prompting you to reach out to them. The people saw Zacchaeus simply as a person to avoid, but Jesus deliberately went out of his way to reach out to Zacchaeus that day. Which leads me to my second point tonight. People saw Zacchaeus. Secondly, Jesus saw Zacchaeus. And Jesus sees Zacchaeus differently than the people saw Zacchaeus. Jesus didn't see Zacchaeus as hopeless. He saw him as someone worth redeeming. You know, I've pastored up at Tunkhannock Pilgrim Holiness Church for over 13 years now. And guess what I found? I found that if you reach out to people, sometimes over time, what seems like a hopeless situation, God can redeem. God's been doing some neat things in my life, with my attitudes to people and working with people. God's been doing some neat things at the church there in northeastern Pennsylvania and so on. Over the years now, I've had situations where people have told me, "Don't stop by," or "We're not coming to church anymore. Don't contact me again." Some of those people I've been able to, over time, it takes time, but over time reach out to, and some of those people I've been able to reach out to and restore relationships with. I'm excited about that. That's awesome. I had somebody give you a little bit of personal illustration. A number of years ago, they had a lot of situations going on in their life. They phoned me up, were just furiously mad, screaming at me at the top of their lungs and so on. And just a few months ago, they came out to church, and we had them over to our place for Sunday dinner. Hallelujah. God's working on her life and so on. And that is a person. Now, I'll be honest. I told the people at Tunkhannock a number of months ago, and it's got a little bit of feedback and so on, and people have thought about it. One of the things, and this is going to get a little close and personal here tonight, one of the things I've purposed in my life as a Christian, as a pastor, I only have one life to live on this earth, by the way, in this world. I know there's a new heavens and a new earth the Bible talks about. In this world, I have only one life to live, And I don't want to leave behind a trail of broken relationships. So I've made it my goal, my personal goal, to not avoid anybody. And that may sound pretty strong. Now, there may be some, I've thought about that, and there may be some caveats. I think there's sometimes where issues of personal safety might be, you know, like if my kids were in danger, obviously I would keep them away from certain, you know, I think there's some qualifications there and so on. But I'm telling you, friends, over the years I have seen that when we reach out to people, I have seen people who have written things off. I remember I can tell you story after story. I can tell you a story of someone who said, "Well, I'll never come to a church like that again," and God helped me to reach out and today they regularly come and so on. How does that happen? It happens by seeing people not as just problems to avoid, but the potential of what God can do in people's lives. And some of the most meaningful avenues of outreach as a pastor that I have had have been those who once told me, as I said, you know, "We're not friends anymore," or "Go away, leave me alone," or, you know, basically in those words. And Jesus reached out. Jesus saw Zacchaeus differently than other people. I'll give you another story here. Somebody just sent me a text message this evening. Somebody I'm in our denomination, I won't give you the exact title here tonight, but just part of the people, pastor that has to deal with denominational affairs and working with so on. And so we had someone who was once a part of the denomination, no longer part of the denomination, had a lot of sin and problems and so on. It had to be set aside. And every so often, I feel like the Lord has put his thumb on my back and told me, "You need to reach out to that individual." And I don't know where that's all going to lead, but you know what? That person needs Jesus too. That person, Jesus died for them. That person shouldn't just be written off for the rest of their life. Maybe God can reach out to them. So I've had a bit of a friendship with them. I'm thankful for that. What am I saying? We don't avoid, I know that's strong tonight, but we don't avoid anybody. We just keep reaching out and loving people. One of the things God has talked to me a lot about, the last several years, and that is having a critical spirit. And there are times you just want to cry out and say, Oh God, save me. Save me from having a critical spirit. We can see people around us, and as we get to know people, we get to know their faults, right? When you pastor for a while, like I have, or you get to been around people, for crying out loud, you're related to people. You know, that's even better, right? You know their ways. Not only do you know who they are, you know how they respond if you ask them. You know, you've been there. How many married people here tonight? You're right. You know, if I ask my wife something, I can pretty much tell you. I have a pretty good idea how she'll respond, even though, you know, that may be a question I've never asked her before, because I know her a little bit, right? And she knows me. And it's easy in the context of relationships to see people with their faults. But oh, that we can see how Jesus can transform lives and so on. There's a pastor in our denomination, right, where I pastor. He calls it like this. He sees people that aren't Christians. You know what he calls them? He calls them pre-Christians. And I like that thought. In other words, he's looking at them with a possibility that they're going to get right with God. He calls them pre-Christians. And he's a person of great optimism and faith, which I do really admire. But he doesn't look at those people as hopeless people. He calls them, you know, and I'm pretty sure there's not a Bible verse for that, but I like the spirit. I like the attitude that we have the hope that that person is going to get right with God. You know, friends, tonight we have a lot of different, even in this group here tonight, I'm sure there's a lot of different backgrounds and circumstances and so on, right? And how do we see each other as people? Do we look at people with a critical spirit, or do we look at people as with the potential how God can work in their life? You know, one of the interesting things being here with your pastor Japheth this week has been, I really enjoy talking about our families growing up. You know, we have all these amazing memories. Some of you guys, folks, may not know this, but growing up, I lived a lot of my life in Canada, and uh, we uh, For quite a while in my growing-up years, we lived about one place a year. We move about every year. And in fact, somebody from my church was just telling me recently, they said, Pastor, you don't seem to be like you're really attached to things a whole lot, and it could be because you moved once every year. And I thought, that's probably true. You know, I don't have a lot of sentimentality sometimes because I didn't have time to collect all these things growing up. But I remember one time as a kid growing up, this wasn't the Nels this time, this was the Hawks, and they came to, I don't know if I've told the story to you before or not, Japheth, but if I have, he'll remember it, yes. But the Hawks, they live in Pennsylvania, and they had hardly ever visited us, and so we heard they were coming up to visit us. We were excited about it. They're going to visit. They're our cousins, by the way. Some of you know that my mom and Pastor Japheth's mom and their sisters, and there are six girls in the family, and you know, so on, the Miller sisters. And so we were excited about our cousins, the Hawks, who are cousins to them too. You know, we're all cousins. And they're going to come and visit us. But we knew that pretty soon we were going to have to move. And so they were planning to come and visit us, but they kept putting off the date when they were going to come to visit us. And we knew as they kept putting off the date that pretty soon we're going to have to move, and they're going to come visit us right about the time. And now my cousins were raised in quite a bit different background, as is my other cousin over here. And they didn't move a whole lot. We moved a lot. And so what we finally did, I don't know if I've told you this story before or not, but when the Hawks came up to visit us, they came up to visit about a week, and midway through the week, we told them we're moving. And so we had a few things we had taken off the walls, but pretty much everything was out, and everything looked kind of normal because we wanted to be good guests, because I was excited about having my cousins come and so on. And so the first part of the week, they lived with us in one house, and the second part of the week, they lived with us in a brand new house, and it was quite an amazing situation. But what I'm saying is, in the midst of life, we can be incredibly different as people, and even Pastor Japheth and I, we have quite a bit different. We do have quite a bit different, same family, extended family, but quite a bit different life experiences and so on. But here's what I've seen over the years. God is able to work through all these differences. God is able to work through different life experiences. God's directed the Nell family in quite a bit different, many ways, a different path, if you will, than the Beyer family. But God is able to work. And Jesus sees people. Jesus sees you. Jesus sees, in the case of my cousin, Jesus sees our family. I saw our family growing up with all of its unique ways and so on. Jesus sees us not just as impossibilities, but Jesus sees us as people that can be transformed by the power and grace of the gospel. Luke 19, verse 10 says it like this: "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." And I'm glad tonight, in spite of differences of personalities or whatever it may be, backgrounds, last names, whatever it may be, I'm glad tonight that God is able to transform. Jesus sees us differently than people around us see us. Finally tonight, I know there's a simple outline, but you know, I like simplicity sometimes. The people saw Zacchaeus, Jesus saw Zacchaeus, and then finally tonight, Zacchaeus saw Jesus. Of course, when I say Zacchaeus saw Jesus, you understand I'm not saying just with his physical eyes he saw Jesus walking to him, you know. But he saw the possibility of what Jesus could do in his life. Can you imagine being Zacchaeus and having most of your life people avoid you, people despise you, and you're the one having to track people down to get the taxes from and so on, and for one of the few times in your life, here comes someone towards you who wants to come to your place. Can you imagine the difference that must have been, must have made in Zacchaeus' life that day? Jesus saw Zacchaeus, but Zacchaeus saw Jesus. He found Jesus, and with that came conviction. You know, Zacchaeus wasn't convicted by the Pharisees to repent, right? We have no indication that the Pharisees ever by their life convicted Zacchaeus. But Zacchaeus was one by the love and the grace of someone who went out of his way not to avoid him, but specifically to say, I want to come to your house. I want to be a part of your life. And Zacchaeus is convicted by the grace of God. Jesus, again, there's parts of the story, you know, there's some loose ends of the story that we don't all, you know, we don't know how it all turns out. You know, for instance, you know, what did the Romans think after Zacchaeus got saved? You know, it would be interesting to know. And, you know, how exactly did Zacchaeus go back and make everything right? It would be interesting to know some of those things. But that's not really the point of the story. The point of the story is Zacchaeus sees Jesus and he sees his own need. And he begins the process of repentance. He realized his sin is getting in the way. You know, you go back to Isaiah chapter 6 and the Old Testament prophet there, we read how he sees a vision of, we read in the New Testament that it's a vision of Christ. He sees the Lord high and lifted up. And Isaiah sees Jesus, but then he sees himself and he says, "Woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." You know, sometimes when we see people around us who don't know Jesus, if we're not careful, we can almost glamorize the power of sin, right? You know, we can say, that's a hard case right there. They are held in the power of addiction, or they're held in the power, look how dysfunctional their family is, and you know, and all those things. But you know, friends, tonight, Zacchaeus, his life was no doubt filled with corruption. His life had a trail of question marks. His life was filled with all kinds of complications and problems. But when Zacchaeus met Jesus, how many months and years did it take before Zacchaeus got saved? We know the answer, right? Jesus said, this day, hallelujah, this day a salvation come to the household of Zacchaeus. That's the power of God's grace. We can look around people and think that they're a hopeless case. Or we can look at people and say, oh, what God can do. You know, I want to be careful tonight sharing personal illustrations, but a little over 13 years ago or so, when I was called to pastor a church there in Tunkhannock in northeastern PA, the only thing that I'd heard about that church was there had been a problem. Somebody hadn't done something right. There was a scandal and so on. And, you know, that's not a cool thing for a church to be known by, right? But you know what just happened just recently? That key person that was involved in that situation, they got saved. And they have been regularly coming to church here in 2022. And it's amazing. It's amazing the power of God's grace. I didn't know a lot about that church, but I heard about that story. And I realized there's a lot of good people in the church. You know how it is. You can hear a story and you don't know the whole details. And by the way, you can write off... Here we go again, right off everybody, you know, it's all hopeless, nothing we can do. But I've seen God at work. God can save Zacchaeus. God can save people around us. And we need to start seeing people around us, not just as the world sees them, not just as, you know, not just even with the legalistic Pharisee, the critical spirit. We need to see the possibility of God's grace with the hope that with God all things are possible. You know, tonight I believe that's a big thing of revival, where we see the possibilities of what God can do. Who are the people in your life? Maybe it's that person that has that annoying situation. You know, maybe it's that person that has that big problem. Maybe it's that person that has that sin, or maybe it's that person with the addiction. You know, you can go on, you can fill in the blank with all kinds of scenarios and what ifs. But I want to tell you, friends, tonight, Jesus sees people not just as problems to avoid, but possibilities, lives that can be transformed. And whoever you're praying for tonight, by the way, don't give up. Keep praying for them. Keep reaching out to them. Sometimes just a little bit of kindness. And I don't know what, when Jesus talked to Zacchaeus that day, I don't know if Jesus had this big, long conversation, but I kind of suspect just the kindness of going out of the way and speaking to Zacchaeus, that just about, you know, changed his life right then and there. Just being different than everybody else around them. Friends, tonight, is there somebody that you've been avoiding? You know, that's a challenge for us, isn't it? And I know there's wisdom, discretion. By the way, I do want to emphasize, if somebody has told me over the years, it doesn't happen real often. I don't want to make it happen like there's thousands of people. You know, there's only been one or two or three or four here and there. And I'll try my best to respect their wishes and so on. But I'm looking. I'm looking for a way. And I've told people this before. You know, maybe they're, and a lot of times might not be so much upset with me, or, you know, they'll make, and I'll tell them, but the door's still open on my end. And I told somebody that just recently. Somebody got bitter against their parents and bitter against God and so on. And by virtue of my position, you know, that I get kind of drug into it because I represent the church and God and, you know, all these things and so on. And I was able to tell them that the door's open. And I'm glad tonight for the hope of the gospel. So again tonight, how do you see people? May God help us to see people through the eyes of Jesus. The songwriter said, "Lord, lay some soul upon my heart. Love that soul through me, and may I humbly do my part to," or maybe get the phrase mixed up. Anyways, to love that soul through me. May the Lord help us this evening to see people around us. I'd like us to stand together in closing prayer tonight. Maybe God has laid somebody in your heart. Who's the Zacchaeus in your life? And it'll probably be different for each person, right? It'll probably be different for each family, each situation tonight. Some of you, it'll very likely be somebody that I have no idea of. Somebody I don't know their name or their background. But I'm glad tonight that we can find those people in life. We can reach out to them. And may God help us to see lives transformed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, tonight for the privilege it is to be able to see people around us, Lord, not just with a critical spirit as the Pharisee did, as the Pharisee looked at the woman caught in adultery and just wanted to make her an illustration, example, or a gotcha moment. Help us, Lord, to look at people as You saw them, dear Jesus. We realize, Lord, that there is coming a day in which we'll all stand before God and give account of their account. Everyone will give account of our life. We realize we serve a holy God who does not tolerate sin. But Lord, at the same time, that holy God reaches out to the woman at the well. He reaches out to the Pharisee named Nicodemus. And He reaches out, goes out of His way to talk to that man in a strange place in a sycamore tree with a very unpopular job and a very unlikable person. And that day salvation came to the household of Zacchaeus. Oh God, help us to see people around us. Help us to see people around us who need Jesus. Help us, Lord, help us to have that burden for people around us that Jesus did. Help us to see people, Lord, not just as problems to avoid, not just as situations to get bitter over, but, Lord, people to love and to reach out. The songwriter said, I'm going to love until there's just no more love. And help us to do that, Lord. Help us to, even sometimes we run a little low, to get out of our way to make the difference in someone else's life. Help us this evening, we pray, to be like Jesus. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, you are dismissed.